You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
Well, good morning.
How are you?
I'm very excited. That's the first time I've ever seen that actually play, and that was very exciting to me.
Adorable.
This is a new segment that we're doing here on the Autism Network. I'm Shannon Penrod.
Mm-hmm. And I'm Moira G. Mateo.
So I'm so thrilled that we're able to do this because I I'm a huge fan of yours from way back when, Moira, and we're going to talk a little bit about who you are and what you do and why I've been a huge fan of yours for so long. But back when it was Oscar time, you and I kind of got together and decided, came up with this idea that we'd like to do an Oscar show together. And I don't know about you, I had such a good time. It was like my favorite thing that month.
It was a highlight for me as well. I had so much fun and we could have gone on for hours.
We absolutely could have. And so we just sort of made the grown-up pants girls decision that enough of you wrote in and said, I really enjoyed that, the context of it, because both of us, I'm calling myself a pony now, Moira. I don't know if you identify this way, but the words that I use now, I'm a pony, I'm a parent of a neurodiverse individual. How do you identify yourself?
Oh, wow. I guess I wear a lot of hats. Parent, advocate for families. I mean, not professional, just passionate, movie lover, all content lover. I love all the content.
There we go. And so we just, we found that it was interesting, our point of view on films and television. It's not just movies, because a lot of what we're going to be talking about today is television stuff, mm-hmm. as it were. But we thought it would be fun to bring the context that we come from in our lives to talk about these things. And we often agree, but very often, I would say just as often, we don't agree. We don't necessarily love the same things. I'm learning that a little bit about what you like through this process. So we'll talk more about that in a second. I do have to do a little bit of housekeeping and let people know that we are pre-recording this show on the night before. But we are live right now on Thursday morning, and you guys are watching it. It's premiering right now for the first time, and I'm watching in the chat, so I'm available to talk to you, and we'll make that available to Moira if she's available to do that when she can, but no obligation, Moira. So tell them a little bit about what you do and maybe how I came to meet.
Right. Well, all things always come back to TACA, the Autism Community in Action, what is an organization I've been involved with for, I guess now it's coming up, it's 22 years, volunteering and then working for, and that's parents supporting parents giving information on things that you really need to learn, because there's such a learning curve with the, when your child gets the diagnosis. There's so many things that can be done, but it's so individual to the child that you, as the parent, need to learn your child and then learn all these resources and try to figure out how to navigate them. And so that's how we met, I believe, through, I feel like we met in the virtual world first, like an email list or something.
Very likely.
Yeah, because that was back in the day before youngsters before Facebook and Instagram, we were on these Yahoo groups, and that's how a lot of us met and, you know, learned about things. Everybody was trying this, try that. Oh, this is, you know, this is your legal rights. I mean, those things were really important because I did not understand the IEP process until I talked to other parents. And
there we go. Well, and I didn't understand anything until I talked to other parents, but I was really dragging my feet late to the party biomedically. And I was already hosting a radio show about autism and I always say that I wasn't doing anything biomedically, although I was hard in on the diet, you know? But I always didn't count that as biomedical. I don't know why in my head that wasn't biomedical, but I wasn't counting it. But whenever I would ask questions about supplements or methyl B12 shots or whatever it was I was thinking about doing it, I would always have all these long questions, and everyone would always say, you know, you gotta go to Taka. And they would say that I either needed to talk to Lisa Ackerman or to you. And then, you know, we ended up, when I started doing Autism Live, we ended up having you and your husband, I think, on as guests, because you were doing these amazing seminars about how to, you know, run autism like a business through your marriage and stay together, which I got to tell you, we're celebrating 20 years together this year. And I think you get a little bit of credit, if not a lot of credit for that. You and your husband. So,
yeah, we just hated hearing about the difficulties that people were struggling with, because I'm like, no, you've got this common goal that you're working towards. And I think the hard part is how people deal it's a change of expectations. So you have this expectation when you have a kid, and then it's all kind of a clean slate now, and you don't know what the expectations are. And they vary because autism is a spectrum. So that, I think, is the hardest thing to navigate as a couple, because you're dealing with your own emotions. So, and we're not really experts, except that I always say I just picked the right guy. I mean, I lucked out, you know.
But it's, and I feel like I picked the right guy too, but it's still some work.
Yeah.
No one ever told me, oh, you know, you're going to do a marriage and it's going to be some work on a regular basis, because if you're not working on it, then, you know, it's like anything, it falls apart. Right. But yes, it certainly helps to be married to the right person out the door, because that makes, then you got somebody to work on it with you that you enjoy.
Right.
And that I count myself lucky, because I know people who thought they had that and they didn't have that. Right. So,
you know, it's a challenge to a marriage, definitely. And it's something that, you know, you just try, you know, bob and weave and try to do what you can, but yeah, so with Taka, I've been doing their, I do their database. I'm the data gal. And we also have a scholarship program that I help manage and put things towards the review committee to review. And we have a fabulous conference coming up. We are going to be back in person in Orange County. It's going to be October 14th through the 16th. And exciting thing is we've got an early bird price. The registration is going to open June 28th, and one day only, early bird price of $60. And
$60. Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. And they're all covering all sorts of things. We've got everything from you've been newly diagnosed and you need to learn everything in a beginner's level to my kid is turning 22 and I need to figure out what to do now that the school bus is going to stop coming. You know, so that's going to be fantastic. We have this app called Taka Connect that we'll be utilizing during the conference. And it's a really cool interactive way. We used it for our last virtual conference. Very cool. And we're using it going forward for some meetings that we're doing during the year virtually, because virtual is here to stay. And we're loving it because we're reaching people that we wouldn't normally have been able to reach. And we will be recording the lectures, and those will be available to the people that registered, and then they'll be available at a later date for purchase for if you can't make it. So
$60 for an in-person conference for 3 days. Are you kidding me? That's an unheard of price. That's a real price. But you only get it'll go up, but for one day, if you pre-order, it's $60. So that's pretty be amazing, Moira. Yeah. And so that date again is the
28th. The 28th of June. Yeah, we're launching the registration on the 28th of June. And it's going to be a neat idea. We're going to have these take action sessions with parent panels so that you can learn a couple of sessions and then go to a take action session and maybe help get strategy. We want you to walk away with a plan, you know, of what your next steps are. So it's fabulous. Absolutely. We got information's up on the website, and, you know, stay tuned. It'll be super fun.
Super, super fun. And for those of you who don't know, if you're like, oh, I don't really know where that is, it's Disneyland adjacent.
Yep, Costa Mesa. Yeah, the Hilton in Costa Mesa.
Mm-hmm. So you absolutely could come out and be at the conference and then stick around for a day or come a day early and go to Disneyland. It's that close, which is a wonderful, wonderful time. But I can't stress enough, we're all sort of seeing, you know, you pick and you choose what you go to in terms of big events now. But when you go to events, there is something that happens where you just feel connected again, and there's no better place to break. If you've been in isolation and are only going one place, I highly recommend that you go to a TACA conference. I always say it recharges you. It's like plugging in, your batteries get recharged, and then you can go again. Gives you so much inspiration.
Exactly. It really, that's exactly a great way to describe it. It completely inspires and recharges you to move forward again. Because I think you know, need that.
Absolutely. We all need that. What's the website that they need to go to? I think we actually have the long one here that Traven has.
It has a pull down, and it's just the takanow.org. That's our website, and all the information is up there. And we'll hopefully be posting the schedule soon, because I know that's another thing people like to see, but you'll be able to see the topics that we're definitely going to be covering, and that can at least help you decide if it's something you're interested in. And there will be scholarships for registration available. So if it's too much, I get it, because, you know, you got to have the accommodation if you don't live close by and all that kind of stuff. We do have scholarships available for registration, so don't be shy.
Okay. All right. But if you can afford the $60, pay the $60 on the 28th, which is, I believe, a Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And we'll try to remember to tell you guys when that date pops up to do that. Okay. So that's every time that we meet with Moira, we're going to make sure that we share with you any TACA business, any news, that's anything that's vital and important. But then we're going to sort of switch gears, and we're going to talk about things that we're watching, film and TV. And hopefully every time we do this, we're going to pick one thing that we both have watched that you can get the feel of how we both felt about it. So if memory serves, for this month, the agreed upon thing that we would both watch was Stranger Things part one of season four. This is not yet what we're watching, but we're close. We did watch this. Yeah. So I can't wait to hear from you, because I know in just what you were talking about that you were excited to see, that you've had at least partially a different experience than me. So what did you think, Moira?
I did ultimately enjoy it. I felt like it, boy, you could see they got a bigger budget, you know, for sure. And that was all on the screen. It was a lot more violent than I thought it would be. It was a little bit creepy. The things that would happen to people, I was like, oh, you know, and I'm usually not that squeamish. I felt like the separating the group was necessary, but it was also one of the challenges, because I think there were people I was more interested in being in Hawkins than I was anywhere else. I was really liking that group of kids and them pulling together. And of course, Steve and Robin are my favorites. I just love them. And I felt like the group of Mike and Will and Jonathan seemed to be a little bit slower on the uptake of what they were doing. And I don't know, maybe it was a contact high from Argyle the pizza guy. I don't know. But that one seemed a little bit slower. And I felt like everything Eleven had to go through was tough, but also maybe a little repetitive. And I was kind of like, speed this up. But boy, those last two episodes, roller coaster. Ooh, roller, yeah. character. And I am thrilled with the popularity of Kate Bush running up that hill. She's one of my faves. I remember her from SNL back in the 70s. So I was like, hey, you know, Kate Bush. And she's been rediscovered by a whole new generation. And I love that. Let me think, what else? Some stuff, some people were a little bit cardboard cutout people, like the mean girl in 11's high school, and then the jock that was going to get everybody to get a pitchfork kind of to go after the creepy guy. But I felt like it was a good sort of foreshadowing of that satanic panic of the 90s, where anybody wearing dark clothing was, you know, a troubled kid that's probably worshiping the devil. So I kind of like the cultural references, as you know, I mean, they're spot on with that. And it reminded me of Stephen King and the slasher movies, you know, some of the, like the Freddy and Jason, you know, kind of stuff. But I did not know they had split the season into two parts. So I was a little bit crushed that I was like, it's not done, you know, so, because I wanted to see what happened. But it left us on an amazing cliffhanger. So now, So how about you? I know you were a huge fan.
Yeah, I love Stranger Things. And I wasn't as much in love with season two or three. I loved season one. I got to say, I loved season four for all the wrong reasons. Just going to admit that, but I did. I loved all of it. I too did not know that it was a part one and part two thing. So my son, we always watch as a family, and my son is sort of metering for us. He's like, there's this many episodes, we have this much left. And we'll sit there and we'll go, is it a two episode night or is it one episode night, where we're trying to figure out. And those last two episodes were extra episodes. One of them was really almost 2 hours long.
Just 2 hours. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we weren't necessarily prepared for that. At a certain point we were like, it's bedtime. And then we like stopped to see where we were. And we're like, wait a second, what's happening here? And then it was, well, this is it. So we're not going to stop now. This is the end of the season. We've got to make it to the end. And we got about 10 minutes out. And I went, this doesn't feel like we're going to get to a finishing.
They're not going to be able to wrap it up. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then when they were like, when it was over, we were like, that's it. We have to wait. And because it was so late at night, we turned it off to go to bed. And the next morning, a friend said, no, there's a part two in July. I thought we were waiting 2 years again, and I was just fatuzzed, right? But knowing that I only had to wait till July, I really want to slap everyone in the entertainment industry who thinks this part one and part two of a season thing is helping anyone. It's just annoying is what it is. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what kind of evil mind control they're trying to take of all of us who like to binge things, but enough already.
Right.
It's really a big turnoff. So I'm going to say that. But I enjoyed the season. I thought it was much gorier than we thought. I don't want to give any spoiler alerts, but there was something that happened fairly early on that we had a ginormous argument in our family, because I said, no, that is not no. And everybody was, I was even arguing. I was like, you saw it wrong, you know, whatever. And anyway, things get revealed. I don't want to give too much away, but as always, I was right. And so you'll figure it out for yourselves. I don't want to tell too much, but I was a little bit upset in the beginning, because I thought, oh, this isn't going to be what I think it is. If this is what I think it is, I'm okay. It was well worth the wait. I thought that there was a lot of, you know, you were saying cardboard characters. I felt that they referenced Scooby-Doo a lot, that there were people who were drawn in a specific way. And I chose to embrace that because of the genre. So I was pretty okay with it. I have to admit to you, though, Moira, I am Kate Bush illiterate. Oh. I had never heard the song before. You said SNL, and I'm like, she was on SNL. I don't know anything about Kate Bush. I understand that it's a big thing now, and her song is number one. So I didn't know any of that, but I did love, as always, some of the messages that are embedded in this wonky Scooby-Doo thing about, you know, when you're feeling something, and you, especially for teens, but for everyone, that it's okay to talk about it, and that there are people there, even when you think there aren't, that you talk about things. I super love how friends show up for friends on this show. And I love what we're, you know, for the older teens that are watching it, love that message. I would not show season 4 to somebody that was not an older teen. And I would be concerned if it's somebody who has a problem with watching violence and gore. Because there's some violence and gore, especially in light of some of the things that have been happening in the world. They play a disclaimer before the first episode and say, hey, you know, this was filmed and conceived before, but in light of recent events, this might be triggering. And I found it to be very much so triggering, me, an adult. So
I have a friend who said the exact same thing, you know, and it was disturbing imagery, but I just didn't make that connection. I don't know if I missed the warning. For some reason, my mind didn't go there, but I thought, ooh, this is going to be a little bit more bloody, you know, than we've seen before. Graphic. I agree with you. Not for a youngster, you know? Yeah.
If you've got kiddos who are disturbed, even if they're older kiddos, if they're disturbed by that, I would say give this one a pass. Mm-hmm. But if you are capable of it, if your kids are capable of it, I have to say I really grooved on it. I found recently that my attention span is like 3 less than celery. And I don't know why. I don't know whether it's where I am in life or my age or hormonally or coming out of being in isolation and there's too many things going on. But I'm finding that there are some programs that just do not grab me, but this did. Yeah. This absolutely grabbed me. So wonderful. So there you've got it. Season 4 of Stranger Things. So now it is time, Moira, for a new segment that we're doing. And we're going to start with you for this. And we're going to ask you the pivotal question. What are you watching? There it is.
There we go. All right. Well, I actually just finished Under the Banner of Heaven, which was I did not realize it was actually based on a real true crime. I, you probably tell from some of the things I've posted before, I'm a true crime person. I'm interested in it. I've watched a lot of documentaries, of Dateline, all that kind of stuff. But I was not familiar with this story. It was, Andrew Garfield was perfectly cast. Because it's basically, it takes place in the 80s. And he plays a detective, and he's in Utah, and he's Mormon. And there is a gruesome murder that happens. And as he's investigating this case, he's sort of questioning his faith. And the whole thing was very much showing, and I don't know a lot about the Mormon faith. And I actually just read an article where there are some Mormon folk that are not very happy with some of the depictions. So, I respect that. But what I saw was extreme beliefs and sincere beliefs and everything in between. And that was kind of the thing I thought was interesting about it, to watch him be such a kind and gentle and loving father and husband and son. And, you know, and the faith that he has with this church really sustains him. But then there's a point where he's really questioning, and I found it powerful. And, if you're into true crime, it kind of goes off the rails a little bit with the extremism, but I think that's, to me, they were just showing, look how crazy these people are, this group of people that was not good people. So, you know, that was okay. But then we also, the other thing on the other side of the spectrum was Hacks, which I don't know if you watched that. That's on HBO Max, I think.
I saw season 1, but I haven't seen season 2, so I'm dying to hear what you say.
Fabulous. I love, Jean Smart can do no wrong. She is incredible. The young gal, Hannah, I've forgotten her last name, the gal that plays opposite her.
I can't look at her, she's great.
Yeah, she is amazing. Oh yeah, you can see her there. And the two of them together have such a great relationship. And it's prickly. It's not like warm and fuzzy. It's prickly. And I love watching how they work through the comedy to get to the good punchline. And that process was so great. And sometimes when they write about comedians, they're not very funny. When you see it, you're like, I don't know. I love Tom Hanks, but punchline was not funny. The actual comedy bits, but this is. And so that was really enjoyable. So yeah, I highly recommend that. And then of course you see the Shining Girls, which like Elizabeth Moss, I'll watch her read the phone book. I mean, she's just incredible. And it's a weird series. It takes you a little while to figure out what's going on. And I never knew Jamie Bell could be so threatening. You know, he's like, it's so, he's creepy, but it's very, and you have to pay attention, but it rewards you for paying attention. And I like a show like that. And then absolute delight was Our Flag Means Death. That was just for, it's about a gentleman pirate, and he's just lovely and delightful and very warm and fuzzy. And there's all these issues of gender identity, sexual attraction, but it's all done so sweet, you know, so sweetly and warmly and inclusive. It's fabulous. And Taika Waititi with a beard, I'm all for it, you know. So that one's a good one. And and delightful, lighthearted, you know. So I needed that, you know. We need a little lighthearted. When you watch the true crime, you got to find the comedy.
I love this, Moira, because I had not seen any of the four. Hacks is on my list. Shining Girls was on my list. I've seen about a minute and a half of Taika, I can't even say his name, Waititi, in the Blackbeard thing, and went, oh, we're going to have to watch that. And I had not heard of Banner of Heaven, but I heard them on the Tonys the other day say that Andrew Garfield's new show is amazing. I didn't know what that was, but you know, I used to teach at BYU. I know some LDS folks. So I'm sure I will find that very fascinating.
Well, I think there's an article in The Atlantic that I just read by a gentleman who is a Mormon, and he talked about what his problems were with it. And I thought, oh, well, that didn't track with me because I don't know. And I kind of felt like I said, like he's got, he's showing you the sincerity and the, you know, and I thought that was fine. And then you see the extreme, you know? So yeah.
Well, I know what I'm doing this weekend. I'm watching all of these. And if we have time later, I'll tell you my most recent Jean Smart story. But okay. So these are the ones that you've been watching and that you love. So I absolutely love this. But now we're going to talk about things that you're watching that you didn't necessarily love.
Yeah, the things I'm watching and not loving, I was watching a documentary called Bad Vegan, and it's about this woman who was kind of taken to the cleaners by this con man. And I feel bad for her, but then part of me is like, you know, it's frustrating. And I haven't been able to finish it. Because I just was like, oh, you know, I'm watching her go further and further down the rabbit hole with this guy. And I'm just like, oh, you know, so it's not a relaxing watch. So I think I might just let it lie. Murderville, I love the idea of it. And I love Will Arnett. But I just kind of, the whole premise is that it's you, the celebrity guest walks into a murder scene and has to figure out who did it. And it's, they have no information, and Will Arnett, it's scripted for him, but not for them, you know? So they're having to improv to guess. And I thought, oh, that's a great idea, but somehow it just sort of didn't land. So I might give that one another chance. And then I just watched Effie Gray and, Dakota Fanning and, the fabulous Emma Thompson. It was great, but it was kind of, I don't know, it kind of, you know, it was like, eh. And I love a period costume piece, but it just didn't, I don't know. It didn't get there, but
it laid there.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there.
I had not even heard of Effie Gray. Bad Vegan was on my list, and we've watched a couple of episodes of Murderville, and we felt the same thing. We were like, what a fantastic idea. And for whatever reason, it just didn't land, as you said. Amazing. Okay, and then our last category, Moira, is what did you really either stop watching, gave up on, or flat out hated? I'm calling this the no category.
The no category. Yeah, well, you and I agree on this, I believe. It's senior year, which I love Rebel Wilson. I thought, oh, this will be fun. And it was not. And I was like, oh, no. And I... I just sort of gave up, I think maybe 20 minutes in. I don't know. I just thought, okay, I'm done. And then I watched pieces of her because Toni Collette, and the first episode was fantastic. And you think, oh, wow, it's going to be about this woman who has all the, who has a secret life. And it's true, she does, but it's not that very interesting, her secret life when it's revealed. But again, Toni Collette, I watched all of it because I love Toni Collette. And then The Shrink Next Door, I listened to the podcast for that. And so I was excited to see this, but it was hard to watch. And I stopped watching it because the podcast was told in reverse. Like, you kind of know how things end, and then you kind of hear where it came from. This is told forward. So you're just watching things get really, 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 really bad. And Paul Rudd is so sweet, but he's so horrible to Will Smith that Will Ferrell, that I was just like, I can't watch this. You know, I can't watch you be mean to him, you know, and again, a kind of a con man thing. And, you know, yeah, maybe I don't like con men.
Well, we started watching that too because, I mean, Paul Rudd, Will Ferrell, how can you possibly go wrong? And yet they did, they do. We gave up, I think, after two episodes. And I managed to tough it out through senior year, but I was by myself finishing it because everyone else had left. And probably because out of some false sense of, you know, I love a fat girl who loses weight. And a lot of times people don't like that. And I was like, I'm going to.
Want to support her, yeah, because there's this attitude like you're not funny unless you're still heavy, which I think is silly, you know.
But the joke is so paper thin on which the whole thing is told. I'm going to talk about that in a second. Okay, so if it's okay, now it's my turn to talk about
what are you
watching. I didn't know if we were going to play that graphic again. Okay, so I got to get my list out here. So the things that I'm watching and loving. And some of these have some asterisks after them. But talk about those to doing a season in two parts. We're watching season 6 of Outlander. And we've finished part 1 of it. We're waiting for part 2. I must say that the first, I think there's 8 episodes maybe of it. And the first, I would say solid 4 or 5, we kept scratching our heads and going, is anything going to happen? Mm-hmm. It feels like they had a real slow coming out of COVID, and it was exposition again, and they were re-litigating things. And we were like, come on, what's going to happen? And I was just about to say, maybe we're done with this. And then they did their Outlander thing that they do so well. And we were on the edge of the couch screaming and yelling and can't wait for when part 2 comes out. It was really good. But the first couple of episodes, they weren't bad. Just not a lot happened. It was like, what if you had to describe what happened in that episode, it felt like, well, we're baking pies, you know? And I'm willing to watch Sam Heughan bake pies, let's be honest. But the last 3 episodes, whoo, nail biters. Also on this list, I've been talking to everybody about Hustle because I am just as gobsmacked. I hadn't heard about it beforehand. I am not a basketball fan. I don't watch basketball. I don't know basketball stars. I'm not interested in basketball. I loved it. I thought it, I was so surprised at how much I loved it. I thought it was so well done. I have been a big fan of Adam Sandler since he decided to come out with being a serious actor. And he has time and time again and shown that he's a thinking man's actor. You mentioned Tom Hanks before. I love Tom Hanks. I'm going to say this and people are going to go, what, Shannon? But I really think that Adam Sandler is in the same category. Somebody that you can trust and that's going to deliver and that it's thought provoking and he's not going to take you on a manipulative thing just to do whatever. It's good storytelling. And he produced this film with LeBron James. And unbeknownst to me, I didn't know this till after the movie was over. Half the people in it are real NBA stars. So if you like basketball, I think you would get a supercharge from that. But I just loved the storytelling. I loved the characters. I'm going to say that I didn't necessarily feel that the women characters had enough time or somebody painting them with anything other than that cardboard brush you were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. And normally I'm real fussy about that. I still loved it. It was good storytelling. I think it's a great, great film. I encourage people to watch it. Also on my list of things that I loved that I've already talked about here on the show, I loved Love on the Spectrum, the US version. I could watch that till the cows come home and never get tired of it. We are done watching part one of the final season of Better Call Saul. I stand by the fact that I've said this before, I think it's the best show ever on television. And I am like so mad that they're making us wait till July to see part two, but it's just so good. It's so well done. I think it's some of the best writing, some of the best scripting. I never wanted to watch Breaking Bad. I vowed I was never going to watch it because of the content. And then I got talked into it during the pandemic. And then we went right into Better Call Saul. I think it's just so much better than Breaking Bad. And they are not disappointing in this final season. My head's going to pop when they finally get to the end. And then you can't really tell, but the picture in the middle is my fave, David Letterman. If you have not watched his most recent season of My Next Guest Needs No Introduction with David Letterman, I'm just urging everybody to stop what you're doing and go watch it. There are so many amazing guests that are in it, but his episode, and it's well worth it to watch every single one of them, but his episode with Will Smith, which was filmed entirely before the Oscars, and yet you watch it and you think this is a thesis on how the Oscars, the incident happened. Honestly, it was the therapy that I needed to understand why it happened, because I love Will Smith so much. Mm-hmm. And I was so devastated by seeing what I saw and thinking this is not the person that I know. And yet David Letterman takes you there on a journey with him. I think it's what our nation needs. I think David Letterman is what we all need. So I'm urging everybody, if nothing else, go and watch that episode. I think it's life-changing.
All right. I will. So, it's on my list for sure, that one. And I just started Love on the Spectrum and recognized one of the people as one a gal that Vico was friends with when they went to school together. And I was like, oh,
yeah,
fabulous.
Yes. Yeah. Did you watch any of the Breaking Bad or Better Call Saul? Is that at all you?
We watched the first season of Breaking Bad and I liked it, but it also, I think we kind of felt like, oh, you know, do we want to watch this guy go through all this? And I kind of felt like, and I think at the time, it depends on your mood, you know, but I've heard it, people have said hands down, it's one of the best things ever. And I've heard great things about Better Call Saul. So part of me is like, oh, I maybe need to give this another chance at some point. Outlander, I actually have seen the first and I think the second season. And I had read three of the books.
Me too.
So I was excited to see it come to screen. And I with the books, I kind of gave up when I started book four. I gave up. So I can see where, when you're saying it's a little slow, I don't know where they are in telling the story, but yeah, sometimes it seems like a long of time. And also, I don't know, I love them together. They have great chemistry. So I don't mind watching them, you know, interact. And, but yeah, and I think the later books got a little bit slow. And I think she finally wrapped it up, the series. I'm not sure, but yeah.
I'm not sure either, but I'd given up on the books largely because they were, you know, I mean, they were doorstops. They were 1200, 1300 pages. Uh-huh. And, you know, I got a life and I couldn't manage reading her books and having my life, you know, so like, you know, it was a lot, but, yeah, I didn't start watching Outlander now, the series, until the pandemic too, because who had that kind of time? But I'm hooked right now. So.
No.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay, and had you heard of Hustle?
I had not. I got to admit, I'm not a big Adam Sandler fan, but I have liked him when he has done just straight up acting. So I agree with you. I think he's a talented guy. I just think sometimes I, you know, I don't know, his comedies are just not my cup of tea. So I think I haven't really taken a chance. So maybe I need to take a chance.
I can't watch Waterboy. I can't watch any of that.
Yeah,
but this Adam Sandler I'll take every day of the week and twice on Sunday. Okay, moving on to the things that I'm watching that I don't necessarily love, although I'm continuing to watch. On the list here was Senior Year because I made it through it, although I found myself doing other things while I was watching it. So I don't know that that even counts. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're at all watching The Boys. Ooh, it's season 3 of The Boys. And I got to tell you, while there are some stuff that's just so funny and so witty in it, it's like a group of people sat down and said, how horribly, obnoxiously wrong, graphic, violent, you know, ridiculousness. Like, how far could we push the envelope to see how offensive could we possibly be? Mm-hmm. And I think it's very aptly named The Boys because it's very much that, you know, sophomoric humor kind of thing. We sort of enjoyed the first 2 seasons, and I'm watching the 3rd season. I don't know if I'm going to make it through it. It is so over the top violent that it becomes funny, and I'm not really somebody who likes to laugh at violence. But it is like, don't take your children anywhere near it. This is as graphic and horrible, and the sexual humor in it is just as wrong as it can be. If you like wrong, check it out. But Traven says, but the plot is amazing. And there's some really amazing writing, which is why I've hung in to season 3, right. Traven.
Yeah, we had started watching that. And I think we got through season 1. And I don't know, we lost momentum. And sometimes it's hard to go back. You know, so I think that tells me something too, you know, but I did like it. And I love Carl Urban. I love him. So,
yeah. Well, they upped the ante in season 3. And believe me, there are things that you can't unsee after seeing it. So watch yourself on that. And then the last one, and I'm really going to tick some people off here that we watched all of it and I enjoyed it, but I didn't love it, was Pachinko. And we had people who were telling us that it was the most amazing thing ever. Now, I think cinematography-wise, yes, it's stunningly beautiful. And I think it's got a really important message. But one of my big gripes, and we'll talk about this with the next category, is this time jump thing that everybody wants to do now. Ever since This Is Us, everybody wants to time jump and show you something instead of telling a story in a linear way. It's a choice, but everybody's all about it right now. And they're not kind. They don't give you something. There's not a lower third that tells you or this is who these people are in relation to them. So we spent most of the series going, wait a second, is that her in 1984 or is that somebody else? I needed a flow chart. It was like they made it hard for us to access it. It ticked me off. And that will make people genuinely angry. But that was me.
Yeah, I have not seen that. Yeah, that was not on my list. But I will.
Everybody's talking about it. And then moving on to the category of things that I either stopped watching or that I full-on hated, my no category, that I'm really going to lose some friends here. But the most recent one that I've been talking about is Interceptor. What a giant steaming pile of poo this movie is. It's, you know, and it's so bad that it's not even remarkably bad. It's just bad. Mm. It's just like, I love to be told a story, tell me a story anytime, and I'll go with you. I'll forgive you all kinds of sins if you just tell me a story and if I can follow the story, right? No, not this one. And they told the story. I mean, they time jumped a couple of times, but it was just bad. The dialogue was bad. It was poorly written. It was poorly directed. There were all kinds of things that it was like, really? Do you really expect that we're going to believe that? It was just, and at one point my son was like, this is just unrelentingly bad. How did they get a budget to do this? And then of course we realized that the leading lady is married to the actor that plays Thor. And that's how they got it produced. And they've already got a deal for a sequel. And I'm like, don't bother. Yes. It was just bad. So that was Interceptor. It's on Netflix right now. I've only watched the first episode of Lincoln Lawyer. And I was at a thing the other night. And everybody was like, isn't it the best thing ever? Isn't it the most, aren't you at the edge of your seat? And I said, I gave up after the first episode and they were like, Shannon. So I might have to go back and take another look at it. But I was so frustrated because at the end of the episode, I was like, who is who? I know he was married 3 times, but I don't know who this person is. I couldn't figure out the relationships. We were in the past. We were in the future. I just want to go, just tell me what I need to know and don't make it so hard for me. So that's how I felt about Lincoln Lawyer. Mm. And then Severance was the Mac Daddy of offenses in terms of this, because not only do I have to keep time jumps, but I have to keep track of, are you the real you or are you the worker bee you? And I, after 2 episodes, maybe 3 episodes, I went, thank you, I'm out. And I know people who loved it, but I loved it.
Yeah, I did. I loved it. I did not see Interceptor, and my mother-in-law loves Lincoln Lawyer, so I might give that a try. But Severance, I liked. It was high concept. It honestly a little derivative, because it was a little bit Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, and you know. But I was there for it. But yeah, I could see where it could leave some folks cold. It's odd. It's an odd show.
I just couldn't find, like, there's that show on right now that I really, really liked about, it's called Ordinary Joe. And it's about,
We watched that. Yes.
Three different timelines. And so it's this guy who we're seeing that at different points in his life, he made choices and what those choices led to. Mm-hmm. And it's a little bit of a task to keep track of, okay, wait a second, where are we in this timeline and who is who in this timeline and so on and so forth.
No, it is color coded if you pay attention.
Exactly. That's what I was just going to say. They help you out that one of them, it's always red in the background, one it's blue in the background, and one it's green in the background, so that you can kind of keep track and go, right, this is the timeline where this happens. Okay. But I literally have to stop for a second and go, wait a second. Mm-hmm. Why can't they? Oh, right. Because she's married to so-and-so in this one. You know, it's a little bit of work. And I think when you're a screenwriter, you have to be cognizant of how much work are you having your audience do to be able to access your storytelling.
Right.
And for Severance, I just got to the point, and because everyone is doing it, I have no patience right now. And for Severance, I just went, no, you've jumped the shark the last time with this viewer. Peace out. I think my husband is still watching it, but I also have to admit that the lead actor is like, I don't dislike him, but I've never been a huge fan. So, I didn't watch Parks and Rec. I didn't, you know, so I don't have that rapport with him. Mm-hmm. So we have a couple of minutes. I want to know, what are you looking forward to watching next?
I forgot the name of it. It's a new show with the actor that was in Reservation Dogs. He's a Native American actor. I think it's called Dark. Oh, darn it. It's another crime thing.
I know exactly the one you're talking about.
Yes. Yeah. Like Dark Winds. I think that's what it's called. Yeah. And yes. And that's looks really interesting to me. I like him a lot. And, you know, I really love Reservation Dogs. So, you know, we'll take a look at that. I do want to see the new Jurassic Park movie. You know, I'm a fan of the franchise, and it is something that we all enjoy as a family. And it's hard sometimes to find something everybody enjoys. How about you? What are you looking forward to?
Well, you know what we actually ended up watching last night, so I didn't have it on the list, but it had been on my list for the longest time. I wanted to see Everything Everywhere All at the Same Time.
How was that?
Well, it was a lot. Let me just tell you this. Like, we were going to go see it in the movie theater last week, and 2 things happened. Every once in a while, I have some Meniere's, and so I get, like, dizzy spells. Oh. And I was having a dizzy spell on the day of, and my husband said, we absolutely can't see that movie because from what everybody has said, that it, like, has the ability to make you car sick. Right. And I said, no. And he said, besides which, it's coming out so that you can watch it from home on demand. It is $20, but, you know, we paid the $20 last night. I love that. Make them all on demand, if you ask me.
I'm with
and,
you.
Right? And although my husband likes the bigger screen, but, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. I liked being able to control and pause and get up and go to the bathroom and discuss and so on and so forth. So which is cheating, I know. But anyway, it was a lot. And I think it's a brilliant movie. I think it's the kind of movie that is going to change the playscape again. And I was saying to my son, you know, he just took an appreciation of film class in his freshman year of college. And I said, you wait 2 years, they're going to be showing that movie as part of that. Mm. In the same way that Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind was something that he had to watch. But this goes a place that I've never seen a film go. And I said, man, you know, it's so creative. It just, it moves so fast that it's the kind of the movie that probably you need to watch 3 or 4 times before you even begin to get the level. It's sort of like Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind meets, what's the movie? I just had it in my head. It starts with an I, where they Inception.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like you took those two movies together and they had a baby with people who write comedy. So there's some really amazing stuff. Jamie Lee Curtis is absolutely the funniest thing I've ever seen in the history of mankind. And if she doesn't get nominated for an Oscar, something is horribly, horribly wrong. Mm-hmm. But the woman, and of course it's terrible that I cannot think what her name is, who plays the lead role.
Michelle Yeoh. I love her. Fabulous.
I can't imagine that somebody's going to do better than her for best actress.
Well, funnily enough, that was written for Jackie Chan and,
I can believe that.
Passed on it and she, and I'm so glad because I think it's nice to see, you know, a female. She looks like she's doing a lot of action stuff. She certainly has the ability because she came from that background. And I just love her. So that's on my list. That's absolutely, I'd forgotten about that. And the googly eyes. I want to figure out what's that.
Oh my gosh. There are so many things sort of like, you know, for the boys where I said they just kept trying to one-up themselves. And I really do feel like there's a group of men sitting around writing the boys going, okay, what could we do that is the most offensive thing? What could we do that would be the most shocking? I really feel like that's what they're going for. Whereas I feel like it's the complete and polar opposite with Everything Everywhere All at the Same Time, where they were writing it and going, we are not going to hold ourselves to any boundaries. Mm-hmm. Everything is fair game. If we want to take a sharp left turn here, we're going to, and we don't care if the audience goes with us or not. So it's absolutely brilliant. But I will say it was too much for me.
Oh, okay.
It was too much for me. I was like, you know what it felt like? It felt like a fever dream. And you know how in a fever dream where stuff happens and none of it makes sense, but while you're in the dream, it sort of makes sense. And then you wake up and you're like, can't quite get it. Why was it that this was happening? And man, I was having to work overtime to try to stay with it. And I think I'm probably just too tired right now. Mm-hmm. And so I struggled to the point where I'm just going to freely admit this. I fell asleep because I was not because I was bored,
but because
my brain was working so far overtime to stay with it. And yeah. Listen, I love a movie that's going to challenge you. This movie kicked my tuchus. But I think it's worthwhile. I think, and I keep doing this. And once you see it, that will be hilarious too.
I've seen some shots on social media. Jamie Lee Curtis has been adorable in terms of being a cheerleader for this film, and she keeps posting funny pictures of herself with
the hot dog hands.
Yeah, I gotta see that.
it is absolutely brilliant. I just can't think of another word for it. And it's absolutely worth watching. It's totally worth the $20 to rent it. I'm sure that on the big screen, it's that much better. But if I was overwhelmed watching it on our, you know, TV, I don't think I could have made it. I probably would have gotten way too car sick in person. So there is that. But so I highly, highly recommend that. But there's a long list of things. We started a playlist because there are so many things that we're watching. And there were a couple of things that I didn't include on the list, but right now we're watching Gaslit.
Oh, yeah. That's the one with Julia Roberts, right?
Yes. Oh. Julia Roberts and Sean Penn, both of them are fabulous. And I am not the big, I don't dislike her, but I'm not like a Julia Roberts groupie at all. She's so good in this. She's so really good in this. But Sean Penn is unrecognizable in the best possible way. Like, you really believe that he is this guy. And of course, I can't remember the names of all the characters because I was young enough during Watergate that it, you know, it's a memory, but it's not solidified for me.
Right. Yeah. Same here. I'm like, I should watch this to find out what happened because I don't really remember.
It is fascinating, and I'm really loving it. My husband is a little bit less in love with it than I am, but I'm absolutely loving watching it. Have no idea how it's all going to end up, but I'm finding it really adorable. And you know what else I didn't talk about here was, did you watch Life of Beth?
No, I actually wanted to because I like Amy Schumer. How was it?
It was amazing. I think it's the best thing that she's done. She's directing, writing, and performing in it, and I think that's its biggest problem. That she needed a director or somebody, an AD who could stand up to her and say, no, Amy, you're doing too much there, you know, because she certainly gets caught doing that many times where it's like, wished you could have just, you know, been there instead of trying to show us what you wanted to show us. But is it Michael Cia that is that the name of the actor? It's based on her life. Her real life and how she met her husband. And so Michael Cia is playing the person representing her husband. And it's loosely based on her life, not completely, but he is wonderful. For those of us who are in the know, we see that he clearly is portraying someone who is on the spectrum.
Right.
I know that makes a lot of people uncomfortable because they're like, does he have a card? Can he prove that he has a diagnosis, because if he doesn't, he's not entitled to play that. I don't fully participate in that thinking. While I encourage always that casting directors give first priority to making sure that actors who are on the spectrum have the opportunity to audition and be given the fair opportunity to audition, I'm all about casting who's ever best for the role. And sometimes that means you get a star who can sell tickets to the thing.
Right.
And that's just reality. And I participate in that reality. We can work on changing that reality, but he is, I think, brilliant. I know people who have already diagnosed him because they want to make sure that they're okay with the fact that he's playing this role. So they're like, oh, come on, you know, he's on the spectrum. And I'm like, how are you just diagnosing people that you don't even know? Maybe he's a really good actor. Maybe he did all of his research. Maybe he spent time, but he's brilliant. And the script is funny and it's delightful. And my husband and I watched it and there were so many, it's shocking. There's several things that are shocking about it that had us laughing really loudly out loud, like caught off guard, that sort of thing when you go, because it's that level of funny.
Oh, that's great. I watched, she did like a documentary of when she was pregnant. And we had not felt like that was early in the pandemic. And we watched that. And I just, you know, she's very, very like upfront, here's who I am. And I'll have to take a look at that one. That one sounds like a good one. So lots
really
to
good. I have anything else on your list? We've got like 2.5 minutes.
I can't think. Lots of true crime. Bridgerton, of course. We watched Bridgerton season 2. Delightful, lovely, beautiful costumes. I'm there for it, you know. But and I want to see Downton Abbey, the new Downton Abbey. I love a period piece.
I want to see the new Downton Abbey. I enjoyed it, but I wasn't as in love with Bridgerton.
It wasn't quite the impact as the first one, but I just love being in that world. So I was happy.
Me too. I love the costumes. I love it. I just felt like the storyline was a bit thin, that what they had to overcome to be together. I kept going, what? Just be together. You know what I mean? I just didn't feel like there was enough holding them back. But right. I also want to see the Downton Abbey movie. I did not love the last one.
You know, yeah, it was a little thin is a good word. I think it was a little thin, the previous one. But again, I think sometimes when things make so much money, they kind of can't not do another one. And Hacks has been so well received. And I feel like where season two ends, it could end. And I would be happy.
Okay.
But I have a feeling they're going to go to season three because it's been so well received.
Okay, we got about 45 seconds. I'm going to really quickly tell you my Jean Smart story.
Yes.
So we really recently, obviously, Ed Asner passed away, and we love Ed, and we were very lucky and felt very grateful to be invited to come to a memorial that SAG was having for him at the Skirball here in Los Angeles. And it was going to, you know, very small group of people, outdoors, invitation only. And, you know, somehow we got invited, our family. And we had the whole talk. I'm driving in the car with my husband and my son. And I said, there will be lots of celebrities there. This is a very solemn event. You will not be approaching any of them. You will not be talking to them. You will not, you know, act like a geek. You know, we're going to behave like real people and let people have their grief and be there. And, you know, this is not a press the flesh kind of a thing. No conversations with celebrities. And I said, and I understand because I feel very strongly that Jean Smart will be there and I will not be going up to Jean Smart and talking to her. So I need for you guys to not, you know, for my son, don't go up to Clancy Brown. You can't be talking to him. Mm. And to my husband, you can't go up to Mike Farrell or Jackson Brown and, you know, have a conversation with them, keep it together. We arrive at the event and you have to show, this was a couple of months ago, you have to show your vaccination card and your driver's license. So I'm showing it to the security guard who is all business. She's mm-hmm. not letting anybody through. And there's somebody that she was like, step to the side to this woman. And she was like, I'll deal with you in a minute, but step to the side. And the woman was like, are you really not going to let me in? I have my vaccination card, but I don't have my ID with me. And she's like, I can't prove who you are. I, of course, am standing next to this woman. I turn and of course it's Jean Smart. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to break all the rules here. But I turned to the security guard and I was like, no, I can vouch for her. I know who she is. And so does everyone else in this building. Everyone in this building knows exactly who that woman is. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you, I know who she is. And the security guard says to me, I don't care if everyone, and I said, no, really, seriously, everyone knows who this woman is. And I turned to her and I said, I'm really sorry. And she's like, no, thank you. I appreciate the help. And then the woman, the security guard was not going to let her in. But she was like, she said to me, I could go in. And I turned to Jean Smart and I said, don't worry, stand right there. I'm going to go get somebody. They're going to let you in. Don't panic. And she was like, no, thank you. I really appreciate it. And I ran and I got people. And by that point, they had already let her in. But then Jean Smart came up to me later on and she said, I really want to thank you for trying to help me. And my husband was like, what happened to the not talking to Jean Smart? And I was like, I cannot help it if I am called into service. I cannot. But anyway, yes, I love. And, I've talked with Jean before. Before her husband passed away, I had an opportunity to both. Huge autism supporters, by the way. And her husband, who was a great actor, great character actor, who just passed away like a year and a half ago while she was doing Hacks season one. I can't even imagine. And, you know, she's having this renaissance in her career, but it's got to be bittersweet because they had been married. They were one of those Hollywood couples that had been married forever.
Yeah. She mentioned him in her Golden Globe acceptance, I recall. And I just thought, oh man, how, because she said it's only been a few months or so.
And at that point, can I be honest? I didn't know that he had passed. I was a fan of his before I was a fan of hers. Mm-hmm. And because he was on the show Sisters that I loved. And she was on Designing Women, which I wasn't watching at that time. I didn't know how brilliant it was until years after it was off the air. But so when she won, which we were so happy and excited for, and she got up and I said, where's Richard? Where's Richard? Why aren't they showing Richard? And then when she said, oh, I was devastated for her because it was one of those marriages.
Get his name
brilliant.
Out. Wow.
Brilliant guy. And if you look him up on IMDb, then you'll go, oh, I watched him on this and I watched him on that. Yeah, I know exactly who he is. Mm-hmm. And I was a big fan of his, but, and he was a big fan of hers. He was one of those husbands that you could just tell when they were together that he adored the ground she walked on and that it was mutual. So anyway, that's my Jean Smart story. And now we've gone long. Gonna get the hook. All right. Moira, this has been so enjoyable. Can we come back and do this again in July?
I am. I'm game if you are. I'm going to start watching some stuff right now.
All right. Well, and obviously we can't get through everything, but I think it's fun. And hopefully you guys enjoyed hearing us talk about all, because now I have new things to watch because I can watch what Moira loved.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go do that this weekend. Yeah. So, and don't forget to go check out the TACA website, TACANow.org. And you can click on the conference tab to find out about that, but click on all the tabs. Go down the rabbit hole, see all the things that there are to see. And if you need a scholarship, you're reaching out to Moira.
Yep.
All right. Thank you so much for being with us, Moira. We are back tomorrow with, we're showing another episode of Stories from the Spectrum that is all content by and for people who are neurodiverse. We are not doing a live show on Monday. We're taking that off for Juneteenth to commemorate Juneteenth. And then we will be back on Tuesday with Ask Dr. Doreen, maybe even in the studio, you guys. So make sure that you tune in then. And then on Wednesday, we have an amazing woman, maybe Mary, not maybe, Mary Barbary. She is a BCBA and has her own podcast. She'll be with us on Wednesday. So that's sort of the lineup for next week.
Great.
But until then, give your kiddos a hug from me and one for you too. Thank you so much, Moira.
Thanks for having me.
Bye-bye for now.